Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Wizards, your daily Washington Wizards podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to what is, I'm going to guess, the most depressing Locked On Wizards podcast of the year, because it's coming to you after the Wizards lose Game 7 in Boston. That's it. The regular season, or the playoffs are over. Eastern Conference Finals hope. Adios for now. Wizards were right there for most of the game, but late third quarter, early fourth, just lost their way, and the Celtics pulled away. Ben Standick here with Mr. Rashad Mobley from truthaboutit.net. We were over at Public Bar. Rashad, first of all, let the world know that you're here.
I am here.
We were over at Public Bar. A lot of people came out. I'll talk about that maybe later, but right now. But anyway, so we were there, and there was a lot of people at the bar, and because of that, my original plan was we were going to maybe sort of do this somewhere in the bar, but that wasn't going to work, so we're now in my car. I guess you could say maybe it's like sort of the apropos of the TNT guys do the gone fishing thing. We're doing the gone driving thing. And Rashad's right now looking at me going, do you know where you're going? Because I'm just sort of driving, but I know I'll figure it out. Rashad, you know, there's lots of storylines. There's lots of angles. At the end of the day, you know, there's lots of things to get into. I'm sure based on Twitter, I know everybody wants to rip the bench or, you know, talk about Gortat today. Or anything along the Gortat struggle today and anything like that. Obviously, Kelly Olynyk was insane for Boston. Nobody saw that coming. Bradley Beal was a monster for the Wizards. John Wall was in range of a triple-double. Otto Porter had a pretty good game. Markieff Morris offensively did as well. But they didn't get it done. Like I said, there's lots of different angles to go to, but I guess just whatever you want to, I'll let you sort of take the first crack. Whatever you want to talk about, the game, the season, You're now suddenly available free time, whatever it is. What are you thinking right now?
Yeah, I'm not that quite eloquent enough to put a bow on the season yet. This is still relatively raw, but I look at when we were in the bar and the Wizards went up by four, I believe, when Bradley Beal hit a three, and it just felt like, even you remarked on Twitter, that it felt like they were playing vintage Wizards basketball. By vintage, we mean December to February Wizards basketball, where the offense was flowing, John Wall was getting everyone involved, Beal was super aggressive, and you know, that was enough to kind of offset whatever Gortat was doing out there, and they just looked good. And then there was this brief stretch at the end of the third quarter where, I don't want to say it was hero ball, but it felt like Beal and Thomas were going back and forth, and Thomas was getting the best of it, and all of a sudden, the offense wasn't fluid anymore. It became a bunch of ISO plays for Beal, and then when Beal would lose control, he would kind of throw the ball away, and there were a couple of possessions where John Wall, I'm sure he was tired, but the offense was just not going through him, and you saw the lead continue to slip away. And I just think that swing that started at the end of the third quarter and went at the beginning of the fourth quarter was the game. I know the Wizards later closed at the six, but they were up by 6-7 points, and they were in control, and it seemed like they were getting whatever shot they wanted. And it's like they just lost it. And granted, Beal was hot, and you want to try to ride him, but Beal does his best when he was coming off of picks, coming in the flow of the offense. And I just feel like that's where the game got away. That's where the bar kind of got lost. The energy went down. That's where everything went south.
Yeah, you know, I mean, watching it out as opposed to on my couch or even at the game where I have stats in front of me, I'm not going to lie, it's a little bit harder to process exactly everything. Couldn't quite hear the announcers in case there was any particular information that they were passing along, and I, you know, looked at my phone a few times for stats, but don't have it in front of me, so I'll lean on Rashad in a minute for some stats. But so it's hard for me to point to necessarily anything maybe specific, but I will just say, if nothing else, the game did sort of feel that it was a microcosm of the Wizards season, that the starting five certainly for the most part put in an effort worthy of a win. I mean, again, Bradley Beal was just a monster at times in that second half. And, you know, I'm not saying it was John Wall's best game of the playoffs. And, you know, again, I'm sure on second watch, maybe I'll notice some things here and there. But, you know, he obviously, I think for the most part, played a pretty good game. And, you know, I thought their intensity for the most part, at least among the starters, was pretty good. But when they went to the bench late in the third, I think they had in there at one point Mahimi, Jason Smith, and Bogdanovich. And, you know, Oubre got no run today other than like 6 seconds in the end of the first half for like a last possession kind of defense. It just, you know, they... Again, it's one of those things where they've got a, you know, deeper dive in the offseason. And for those wondering, yes, there is an offseason. I'm not done. We'll discuss. But they, on offense, they've just never been able to find a third player who can get his own. And that was, to me, I go all the way back to last season, last offseason. I mean, the guy that I kind of, if they were going to spend big money on somebody, and there was no way that it turned out they were ever going to get this guy. But I was like wanting a guy like Nicholas Batum. Even if it wasn't him per se, somebody like that, somebody who could, you know, essentially you could run your offense through, who could get his own when Wall and Beal sit. And the problem the Wizards had was they just never had that guy. They didn't have that guy for most of the year. Brandon Jennings came in. He can, in theory, get his own, but obviously he's limited with his jump shot, and defensively he's got some issues and so on. And Bogdanovich, you know what? I mean, he's obviously a three-point threat, but he needs to be set up. He's not a guy that's going to drive and get his own. I mean, I thought Otto Porter had a bounce-back game after what he did in, you know, scoreless in Game 6, but that's just not typically what his game is. And I think tonight was just another example of that. I mean, look, Boston, how many points did Boston finish with? Boston, the Wizards' defense was not doing a great job in the second half.
115.
I mean, the pick and roll was tough. So I'm not saying it's just the offense. But in a game where both teams, you know, Boston wasn't doing much stopping the Wizards. But it's just when Beal and Wall would sit, they just don't have another guy. Then they just never could quite find that guy all year. So it was sort of ironic in a bad way that the Wizards' season essentially ends the way, you know, we all sort of saw going down all year. They just never quite figured out enough off the bench to make it work. Sometimes yes, but in this spot, no. What did you think about the fact that we sort of talked about this throughout the game, but how he used the bench? I mean, rotations always shrink, but he basically just went Mahimi, Bogdanovich, Jennings, no Oubre. I know some people on Twitter were itchy about that. What were you? You think that's even worth discussing about it 5 minutes into the podcast? Like, I mean, it probably isn't, to be honest. But
well,
I mean,
to your earlier point, the last time we podcasted, you joked. Well, halfway joke that the bench needed somebody like Marcus Thornton who can get his own offense, who can score quickly.
Oh, boy. And our boy Kyle Wheatie is going to be yelling at both of us now, but go ahead.
And maybe he's not the answer, but when you were looking at the way Olynyk was scoring for Boston, that's what was needed on the Wizards bench. He was scoring on post-ups. He was going outside. Isaiah Thomas wasn't setting him up. Neither was Bradley. He was getting his own shot. And, I mean, granted, 26... If you score 26 and you're Kelly Olynyk off the bench, you're supposed to lose. But just the fact that he has that option is something that the Wizards do not have. And so it was frustrating. Now, to your other point, I would have liked to have seen Oubre come in or Jason Smith come in, and especially in the first half, if for no other reason. You know, in the second half the game is going to be tighter. You know you're going to need your starters to go longer minutes. So why not in the first half kind of get Oubre or Jason Smith in there? I mean, at the very least, I know Oubre is jittery on offense, but he can get you some stops on defense. And I know Coach Brooks had to be saying that Gortat just didn't have it. I mean, he grabbed 11 rebounds and scored 6 points, but there were a lot of turnovers. He was unsure with the ball. And so, you know, that would have been the perfect time to put in Jason Smith. So I was a little, I'll be curious to hear what he says about shortening his bench, because we haven't seen him do that, I believe, all season. We've never seen him run that short of a bench when everyone is healthy.
Now, we saw it essentially a little bit last game. I mean, they played a lot fewer minutes, but at least, you know, Oubre played some. But yeah, this was a complete shutout. You know, it's one of those things, like I said, I need to go back and look at the game again to sort of look at the matchups and see who was on the court. And, you know, the reality is, I get it. Like, you know, I'm not even quite sure how deep Boston went in terms of minutes with their guys on the bench. You know, like I said, and just to be clear, anybody who says they lost because they didn't play Oubre, no, stop. I mean, here's the base reason why the Wizards lost this series. Because Boston won more games during the regular season. The home team went 11-0 when these two teams played this year. 11-0. That's, you know, I mean, what can you say other than Boston? You know, the Wizards had more or less had, well, I guess that's not true. The Wizards didn't have a last shot in Game 6. Boston did. But basically, you know, all the different reasons we want to come to. People want to blame Gortat. People I saw on Twitter telling me that Burks got out-coached. People, you know, some people were telling me John Wall wasn't being John Wall enough.
And there was some blame Ernie. There was a lot of blame Ernie momentum getting there in the second half.
And look, I mean, I think, I don't know the exact result, but I think it was like 45-5. The bench got outscored. I mean, give credit to the Celtics when you've got Olynyk getting 26 in like 26 minutes. Jaylen Brown had some really big minutes, I thought, for them. Marcus Smart was, you know, a force for them down the stretch. You know, when I talked to Jared Dudley on the podcast over the weekend, and I asked him, "What's your game plan for Game 7? And he said, "Hey, look, you got to take the ball away from Isaiah Thomas and let the other guys beat you. And if they do, they do." That they sort of went half measure on that. For all you Breaking Bad fans, they didn't go full measure; they went half measure because Isaiah Thomas had—I don't think we've even gotten to him yet. He was a terror all night with like 29 points, I think.
29 points, 12 assists.
He had in that stretch, I think it was like basically an 18-2 run for the Celtics, sort of overlapping third and fourth quarter. I think he had three threes in that stretch, and that really, like I said, turned the table. But all the other sort of guys, I mean, Avery Bradley was off for the most part in this game. I mean, Al Horford, again, I'm sure he did some things, but it didn't feel like it was like an Al Horford-y game. But basically,
no, it wasn't. But he had that stretch in the third quarter where he was.
Oh, actually, I take that back. In the third quarter, right. He and Thomas combined for 20.
Right.
Again, this is where not having notes in front of me is a distraction. It's possible. Yeah. So anyway, you know what? I mean, like I said, you could try to rationalize this 6 ways till Sunday. At the end of the day, the Wizards are done. They will either be doing exit interviews tomorrow, meaning Tuesday or Wednesday. That's typically how it goes. And we'll hear final thoughts before they all head off into the summer. And there'll be a lot more time to digest what happened this season. What do we make of it? Let me ask you this. I know you said you weren't ready to put a bow on it, but I guess I'll force you a little bit. Your gut reaction, it's 11-11 on a Monday night and the Wizards season just ended. They've played now 82 regular season games. They played they played 13 in the playoffs, 95 games. They won 49 in the regular season, most they've won since 1979. They, you know, overcame the 2-8 start for a two plus month stretch. They were essentially the hottest team in the East, if not almost the hottest team in basketball. Bradley Beal, there were people who questioned giving him that money. I don't think anybody's questioning that now.
No.
John Wall went next level this year. He went from being a guy who's really good and, you know, an all-star to being a fringe MVP candidate. And I think we saw what the injuries were holding him back. Otto Porter, yes, he did fade over the second half of the season, but in totality, a step-up season for him. We'll get to his money in due time. Markieff Morris, you know, I don't hear anybody saying anymore that was a bad trade. Right. Yada, yada, yada. There's things, again, the bench, we've already discussed that. So I guess when you just look at it in totality, I just know that my fear is, I've already heard, you know, you already heard people sort of doing this, D.C. is the saddest sports town in the country, which I think is nonsense.
That's horse.
Yeah.
You know what?
And obviously when you factor in, this is now, what is it, like 68 seasons in which none of the four main pro teams has made it to a conference final since the Caps did 98. So people want to lump it into that. For me, I guess, I know I just said I'll ask you, but I'll keep prattling on here. I don't view it as a bad situation. It's a bummer at the moment, and you never know what's going to happen. You take nothing for granted. They got a healthy Wall and Beal this year. No guarantees that happens next year. Right. And that's a price, you know, it's a risk you take. To some degree, but I'm not going to look at this as a negative. It stings right now, I'm sure, no doubt. But in totality, this was a really good season, and there's reasons to buy in for them to stay near the top in the East. There's a lot of questions as well, and again, we've got 4 or 5 months now to kind of go through them all. But now, after I just went through all that, how do you, right now, as like you said, it's all raw, but how do you sort of view this? Are you viewing it as, oh God, they were so close, how'd they blow that? Or, you know what, in overall, it was more good than bad.
It's funny, while you were talking, I sat there and tried to imagine if I'm a player in that locker room right now, particularly Waller Beal, I'm angry. I'm extremely angry, and it's that same kind of anger that I felt after the Cleveland game when you know you should have won. You was right there, and you let it get away. I don't believe that Boston, if I'm speaking from a player's perspective, I don't believe that Boston is better. I think that we should have won, and I am angry. And as I told you while we were walking to the car from Wall and Beal, I'm sitting down saying, what do we need? What do we need to get better? Because I'm not satisfied with any of the things that happened this year because we lost to a Boston team who I think we're better than. But from my perspective, I think given the disarray that this team was in at the beginning of the season, and particularly last year where you fire your coach, you don't get Durant, you bring in Scott Brooks, you're trying to put together a team because you have the starting five. I think you can feel good about this season. You got further than any other Wizards team got before. You got two healthy seasons out of your two superstars. You kind of have an identity, at least in the starting five. There are positives, but you would be able to reflect on the positive if you lost to Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals. Losing to Boston, it stings because, I mean, I know you are what your record says that you are, but I don't think, I believe, and you probably don't believe, that Boston is truly a better team. And so
I said early on, but certainly after game three, I was like, no matter what happens, the Wizards are the better team.
Right.
And there's nothing for me to say that otherwise. I'm sure the Locked On Celtics guys, if they listen to this, are going, yeah, whatever, dude. But, I mean, at the end of the day, the home team won every game. And again, I give all the credit to Boston. They got it done in the regular season and, you know, all that. But, on you know, if this game was in D.C., then I don't see the Wizards. I don't see why I would think that the Wizards would have lost based on everything.
No, and it reminds me of, I don't remember what year it was, when Federer and Nadal were playing in Wimbledon and you just knew.
Tennis analogy.
Yes, I'm going tennis. Whoever had the serve last was going to win. It doesn't mean the other player wasn't better. It's just everybody was holding serve. And I felt like that's what happened here. But if you sit down and look at the roster, I mean, yes, Boston has a deeper bench, but they also don't have Wall and Beal in their starting five.
I mean, if their bench outscored the Wizards 45-5 and the Wizards lost by what, 10?
Right.
So I mean, the starters obviously were, you know, doing work against their starters, and you know, again, that's the crux of it all. You know, one thing I was thinking about as we're talking, I go back to, you know, probably the best thing I'm gonna say I did all this whole podcast, 200 and something odd. Podcast was the series I did with Michael Lee, feels like 100 years ago.
Yes.
And when we got to the point of this year, this team, he was, you know, we sort of talked about the Durant aspect of it all, and he, I remember, I have to go back and listen to it again to be precise, but he basically said he thought that it was a shame that the Wizards, that John and Brad were ready, that they were ready to go to the next level, and that he didn't think that the Wizards did enough to help them. And obviously they were, you know, the Al Horford situation, you know, if it was true, although, you know, if it was true that the Wizards really came in second, but right. Based on that reporting that happened at that time when he signed with Boston, if he comes here, you know, maybe he's not Kevin Durant, but does Al Horford put you over the top? I mean, right now you would have had him out there instead of, say, Mahimi. And, you know, I think that's pretty easy to look at an upgrade. But then after they didn't get Horford, they did spend some money. They didn't spend it on a lot that worked. Excuse me, guys. Jason Smith, ultimately, to me, was probably the best addition they had. And, you know, he was, you know, viewed as like sort of the fifth big man.
Right.
And so I think that's something that'll sort of linger with me. Did the Wizards, now that we saw the end result with Wall and Beal, what they did they blow it? Not by not getting Horford, but just that they, whatever the move was, they didn't make that move to really give them that extra piece.
And think about it, the move was something they can't control, and that was their health. I mean, that was the best thing they had going for them. They stayed healthy. Next year, you have to assume that one or both of them are going to get hurt for significant stretches of time. And then the onus is on Ernie to do the significant upgrade that he didn't do this season. So that's, you know, I think this year you can kind of get away with not focusing on that. But you can't get away with that next season with now both Cleveland and Boston being kind of teams that you need to get by.
You know, and I'm not saying that this guy would have changed the game, but I noted pregame, it was ironic that Garrett Temple, of all people, was at game 7. CSN had him on the pregame broadcast, and, you know, all season, you know, for, I mean, I, you know, I'll definitely, you know, if you want to say that I was, people want to say that I was the leader of the Garrett Temple fan club when he was here, that's fine. I think people were like this year were like, oh, snap, can we get him back? I mean, he made too much money, he got too much money and all that, but you looked at Temple and then another guy, Ramon Sessions, who was a frustrating sort of backup point guard because he wasn't really a passer. He was just a guy, but he could get to the line. He at least do something. You know, you tell me if the Wizards had those two guys even, who I'm not saying are all that.
And Marcus Thorne. Let's go crazy with the nostalgia here.
Now, we won't go that crazy, but I am with you on the whole notion of they just didn't have that heat check guy who could get his own. I mean, Brandon Jennings is sort of like that, but yeah, you know, I mean. That wasn't working out. So anyway, I don't know. You know, like I said, we've got plenty more time to podcast. Unfortunately, there will be a bunch of, and again, thank you to all the people who came out to the bar, Rashad, first and foremost, Patrick Ruby and his better half were there. Rasheen was there. Michael was there. Noah from, Wizards Extra was there, and a bunch of other people.
Connor Dirks from Truth and Bible.
Connor Dirks was there, absolutely, with his father, and a lot of other folks who were kind enough to come by and introduce themselves. And I really appreciate all you guys doing that. And yeah, everybody was asking what about the podcast. I'll keep doing it. I have to have a conversation with myself about how and when and duration and things like that. But we'll figure something out. But right now, nobody cares. And all anybody cares about is the fact that the Wizards are done. It was a great run, but if you don't, you know, when it ends, it is a mother. And
to go back to your point, you can't group watch the Redskins and the Capitals, and you can't group all of them together. I think the Capitals and the Redskins, okay, I'll listen to that. The Nationals are too new. But the Wizards, I mean, they have a new coach. They finally had their two players healthy, and they did very well this year. I don't think you can be critical of them. Now, next year, if they take a step back or if somebody gets hurt earlier or is out for the season, then you can feed into the curse, into the general Washington sports malaise. But I don't like the Wizards being grouped into that because this was an unexpectedly good year with a new coach. So let's kind of lay off the Wizards here.
For the record, I think I had them at 48 wins, so I had at least a little bit of thought that
I think I had like 45. I didn't have faith in Scott Brooks.
I had faith. I had at least enough faith in Scott Brooks. It was a mystery to some degree, but I had enough faith. I think I had a little too much faith in some of the bench stuff. I mean, I'd never sort of understood Mahimi and Trey Burke. It was a puzzler from the start, to be honest. I thought Andrew Nicholson was going to give them sort of what Jason Smith ultimately did, a 3-point threat from the big man spot. And you know, look, I mean, the Bogdanovich trade is going to be a really interesting one now to look back on. They gave up a first-round pick for a guy who obviously helped them out, especially right there in the beginning when they got him. Right. Things started to peter out as time went along. Now he's a restricted free agent, so is Otto Porter. Those are going to be the two biggest decisions to make. I don't think there's really a big one to make on Porter. Yeah, I would be stunned if he's not back, but, you know, we'll see about that. But, yeah, Bogdanovich goes in free agency for nothing, and you gave a first-round pick and didn't make it past this round. That's going to sting a little bit, but I also didn't have an issue with it, being honest. I mean, they needed to do something, even if it's to cover up the mistakes from that happened last summer. It is what it is. I think they had to do something. And, you know, again, I go back to game two in the series. They were up 6 with less than 3 minutes to go. They had the ball at the end of regulation with the last shot. Wall and Beal both had shots. Beal got that rebound, missed. If he gets that in, they win that game, I think the series is over 2 nights ago.
And not to get
off 3 nights ago.
Colin Cowherd here, but
ooh.
If your best players have the ball with less than 10 seconds and they both miss, that's kind of on you. I mean, that's what you want. I think any team that's left in the playoffs would take their two best players, particularly with Beal. It was a wide open shot. Having shots to win the game, if you don't get it, I mean, it's on you. So that's... Game two is what they're going to go back to, and they're also going to look back at. I mean, if I'm Wall and Beal, I'm going to look at those times in the regular season when maybe we could have pushed for a higher seed. Maybe if we had played better earlier, you're going to look at.
Well, after the All-Star break, and they were basically a .500 team for the most part.
Right.
When I made that point during this game that there was a point in this second half that they were playing with the intensity of December. Through the All-Star break, that was to sort of remind us that they weren't after the All-Star break. And right. If you pick up some of those games, you know, what they lose twice to Philly this year?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a couple things like that. You know, who knows how things go. Last thing I'll say, if you want to look for the silver lining in any of it, you know, when it comes to the idea of good, you know, sad city, bad situation, whatever, you know, I always look at it as the realistic goal for any fan. It can't be winning the championship. If that's your goal, you're going to be sad way more often than not, unless you, even the New England Patriots don't win every year.
Right.
Okay. Golden State Warriors won 73 games last year. They didn't win the title. The goal, though, should be, are you contending every year? If that, to me, is the goal. If you put yourself in position to do that, then you take your chances that, you know, the other team is the one that suffers the injury or has the off-shooting game or what have you. I bring this up to say that the one thing I think you can look at is that Wall and Beal in particular showed up to play. Yeah. They were not afraid of the moment, basically, the whole time. I don't know, still don't know what happened in Game 5. But other than that, for the most part, those guys showed up. And others, you know, other guys were a little more up and down. But, you know, if your two best players have the eye of the tiger, because I could look at teams like the L.A. Clippers and Blake Griffin, no chance. No. That guy doesn't want the ball in the last few minutes. When I talked to Jared Dudley, he talked about some guys who at the end of the game don't have it. That Wall and Beal, to me, did show that repeatedly, not just because Wall made that shot in Game 6, but that he was willing to do it. He was willing to take that shot and do it in rhythm, not forced. That is a really positive sign. If the Wizards can figure out some other things, Otto makes a jump next season, maybe Oubre does as well. They figure out something in free agency. Jared Dudley, not to keep going back to that, but he also talked about how guys will want to play with John because he's getting them paid, he being a good example of that. You figure out how to get that extra piece in there, and maybe there's something there. But I wouldn't say that just about every team, because you need to see that your guys can deliver when it matters. And I would say for the most part they did. So I think if you're looking ahead to next year, I think that's something to be happy about.
And to your point, you want to know that your team is competing every year. I think that's what made last year so disappointing, is that they had those 2 years in a row where they went to the playoffs, and all of a sudden they don't make it. And so this year, they're kind of back in the fray. They're back to being competitive, and that's something that you can build on. But again, if I'm Wall and Beal, given how hard I play this season, particularly in the playoffs, I may try to be a little more vocal to the coach and to the front office about what I'd like to see, what we need. I think that's part of the maturation of we're superstars for a team. I mean, they're not going to get what they want, but they're going to be vocal about, as Wall has been in the past, when he said he needed a stretch four, I think that was last season. I think Wall and Bill are going to be vocal about what they need so that they can remain competitive and not take a step back. Because, again, everybody thought they were gunning towards to beat Cleveland, but now you have to consider Boston and other teams. And so I think it'll be very important that they continue to stay competitive, because you can't waste Wall and Beal's prime at this point.
All right, what I need is a bottle of water and some sleep. So I'm going to let you go. Rashad, I definitely appreciate it as always. All you truth about it, guys, were phenomenal help all season, and got a lot more people to thank down the line, but definitely appreciate your time, man.
No problem.
And, you know, unfortunately, you and I are 0-2 this year when we went out the game, so part of our offseason plans will have to be, we'll have to figure out how do we get better when we go out to watch games, and we must be doing something wrong.
I gave 150%. That's really all I can do, though.
You did. I did. I gave 150% as well when I was eating the quesadilla and spinach artichoke dip. I really gave it my all there, so I tried. All right. Thanks to Rashad Mobley. Thanks to you guys for listening. At Rashad Mobley? No.
At Rashad 20.
At Rashad 20, yeah. On Twitter. And follow us at Locked On Wizards, at Ben Standig. Like I said, more to come. I'll just, you know, come back. I'll let you know what we're going to do. Until next time, see ya.
Everybody gets Beal gets open for three. Dagger!
Bobby Sine, touchdown!
Wall drives, off-balance shot.
Dagger!